Thank you so much. Thank you so much, everyone. Thanks, Steve and Jan, for hosting so well this morning. Just to add to the week of prayer information there, I'll just give you some of the themes that we're going to be praying into throughout the week. So each evening, or not each evening, but every other evening throughout the week, we're going to be gathering corporately together to pray. So on Monday the 6th at 7:30 at the Open Door Centre, we're going to be gathering to pray about buildings. There's some really important decisions we've got to make as a church about buildings, so we want to let you know where we're up to with that and to pray into that together. We have news to share and so on that is just will help you to fuel your prayer for a building, which we really need to be praying for. So that's Monday the 6th. On Wednesday the 8th, we've got a night of worship and prayer, or an evening of worship and prayer, which will be led by Steve and Kathy and those that are part of their groups, as part of the worship kind of groups that we have in the church. And then on the Friday evening, we're going to do a whole night of prayer from 7:30 in the evening through to 7:30 the following morning in the Saturday. Can I have some whoops, please, for coming together to pray? Now, I just wanted to explain about this, that you can come for the whole 12 hours if you want to do that. You are very welcome to come for the whole time. You can come for half an hour or part of the night. You can come, and some of the time there'll be some front-led stuff going on. We'll have some worship leaders there. We'll have some stuff that we want to lead from the front and say we're going to pray into this, but much of it will just be space for people to come and soak. We'll have the room. We're going to try and set the room up nicely so that it feels comfortable throughout the evening and throughout the night. If you want to bring your slippers or a blanket or a pillow, even just to have a little sleep in the corner, that's fine. Just come and be in this place as we go through the night. If you want to bring snacks with you, go for it. We'll have tea and coffee and so on available. But a night of prayer, I'm really excited and looking forward to that. And then on the Sunday evening at 7:30, again at the Open Door Centre, I'm again really looking forward to this. So I was in a small group recently in Hillary and Valerie's group, and Tony Hassel was there, and Winston and the Tophams. And Jenny, were you there? Jenny, I can't remember. No, you weren't there, sorry. But these guys were sharing their experience of what it was to encounter the Holy Spirit for the first time when they were in churches where the Holy Spirit wasn't spoken about or wasn't experienced. And as they were telling these stories, I just sensed the presence of the Holy Spirit in the room. And I just felt a sense that we need to share these stories more widely. And so they're going to come and just share some of the things that happened when they first encountered the Holy Spirit, and then help to pray for us as a church that the Holy Spirit would come and we'd have our own fresh experiences of what it is to receive the Holy Spirit, our own Pentecost experience, if you like. And so I'd encourage you, please do come along to that for some great stories and for some prayer and for some encounter with the Holy Spirit. And actually, that's what I'm going to be speaking on this morning. But just before I get into my preach, Matt, I know you're going to hate this, but would you just stand up for me? Just stand up for me. Now, I've got to know Matt quite well as he's been doing his ID year. I just felt a prompt this morning that I needed to just speak publicly over you this morning and declare that you have a voice that needs to be heard. You have a voice that needs to be heard. I just felt as you were singing, and I know it was more stripped back today, and I've seen you grow as a worship leader over the time that you've been doing it. And you know, when you started, I know your voice was, you were quite timid, and as you've grown, you've become more and more confident, and we've had some conversations about that. But I just felt that God wanted to say to you, you have a voice that needs to be heard. And that's to do with when you sing, but I know there's lots inside you as well that you carry in terms of your love for Jesus that needs to come out. And I just felt I needed to do it publicly because I feel like there's a public edge to what you've got in you that needs to come for other people to benefit from. And yeah, just want to encourage you in that. I'm just going to pray for you, Galen. Just lay your hand on Matt for a moment. We just pray, come Holy Spirit. We thank you for Matt. We thank you for all that you're doing in him. We thank you for the way we see him growing as a worship leader. We thank you that he has a voice that you want to be heard. And so we pray, would you show him what steps that involves? Would you help others around him to help with that? We just pray, Lord Jesus, would you bring boldness and courage into his heart by the Holy Spirit, that he would be able to speak and that others would hear and be impacted by you. Amen. 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 People are with you, Matt. People are with that. There's an agreement with that. That's so good. So how are you getting on with loving and following Jesus in everyday life? That's a focus that we're going after this year. We've been speaking about it over the last few weeks. Has it got stuck in your mind yet? Have you got that kind of idea that that's what we're looking to do, to love and follow Jesus in everyday life? Have you found yourself, some of the things that we've talked about, what that looks like, have you found yourself making decisions to be obedient? Because that's part of what it means to love Jesus. Jesus said that those who love me will obey my commands. Have you found yourself? I found that as I've been going through the last few weeks, I've just remembered, okay, I'm choosing to be obedient in this situation because that's part of what it means to love Jesus. Have you found yourself being joyful and thankful in circumstances, even when circumstances haven't gone the way you've wanted them to? Have you found yourself remembering that we've talked about following Jesus, part of that is following his example to be a servant? Have you found yourself seeing situations and seeing, yeah, I can serve this person, or I can serve into this situation? Have you found yourself being eager to be Spirit-filled? That's part of what it means to follow Jesus, to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Have you got a hunger that's growing in you to be Spirit-filled? I've certainly found that, and what's really been helping me is this prayer that we put out there at the start of the year, and we said, I committed that I was going to pray this every day for 40 days and saying, come with me, pray it with me. Anyone praying their prayer every day for 40 days? There's a few hands. Well done, guys. If you haven't, just a little reminder, it doesn't matter if you've not been doing that, pick it up. That's on the website. There might be some hard copies at the back. We are praying every day into these areas of what it means to love and follow Jesus. And I've been finding that as I've been praying, that those things have been coming to my mind in different circumstances. And this week for me didn't go as planned. And those of you that know me will know that I'm a planner. Okay, I have to have a diary. I have to refer to my diary. That's partly because I'm busy and I have lots going on. It's partly because that's just the way that I'm wired. But I find I need to prioritize. I need to organize my time. And there's been things going on at work this week within the church where we've had to have meetings that we weren't expecting to have, particularly around buildings. And so stuff to share, as I was saying, in a few weeks' time. There's been people, there's a close friend of ours this week has been in hospital, very serious situation. Weren't expecting that. And so I had to drop some other things to go and do some hospital visits. We even had family drop in on us yesterday unexpectedly. Angela's family live in Yorkshire. We don't see them that often. And they were coming past our house yesterday and rang and said, we're coming past and we're popping in. So we had to change our plans. Even little things like the weather this week. I do some football coaching with one of my son's teams and it was icy and the football training got cancelled. And then the match yesterday, the time got changed and the venue got changed because the pitch was flooded. And so we had to move to an AstroTurf pitch. All that stuff, it's been one of those weeks where things have not gone as I planned them to. But it's been a really good reminder to me that when it comes to loving and following Jesus, we can't map it all out and plan it in detail. We can't say this is how we're going to do it each day, but what we can do is have some understanding of what it looks like being obedient and being joyful and being Spirit-filled and being ready to serve, that whatever the circumstances are that are going on around us, that we are ready to live out and follow Jesus in that way. And so our security isn't in the plans that we make, is it? Our security is not in our plans and in our diaries. Our security is in the person that we are following, whatever the situation and whatever the circumstances we might find ourselves in, whether expected or unexpected. And today we're going to look at a great example of this from the early church in Acts chapter 8. If you've got a Bible with you, either on a phone or a paper copy, get it open. Acts chapter 8. And the background to this story is that there was a disciple. This was in the times of kind of the early church. So Jesus had died and risen again, and the church had been birthed. And there was this growing group of new believers. And there was this one disciple called Stephen who was following Jesus, loving and following Jesus. And he was speaking clearly about the good news of Jesus. And he was performing signs and wonders in the power of the Holy Spirit. And some people were amazed by what he was doing, and others were horrified by what he was doing. So much so that in just before the passage we're going to look at, Stephen was stoned to death. He was killed by the people that were offended by his message. This is terrible events. This is a terrible turn of events. Totally unexpected for this group of believers that were there in Jerusalem at the time. And it had a huge knock-on effect, not just for Stephen, but for all of them. This is what we read in Acts chapter 8 at the start of that chapter. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him, but Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off both men and women and put them in prison. Do you see that was a massive, unexpected turn of events for that group of believers? They weren't expecting that to happen. And yet that totally turned their lives upside down. There's another whole message here, obviously, about Saul, who was the chief kind of person involved in going after the church. And we know that Saul had an incredible encounter with Jesus and was filled with the Holy Spirit and wrote much of the New Testament that we read and that we teach every week. And what an incredible story that is of God's transformation in somebody's life. But we're not going to look at Saul today. We're going to look at something else. So for this new church, following Jesus, this was a dramatic, unexpected turn of events. Their lives were thrown up into the air. They literally had to scatter, to move away. Their plans were scattered. Their lives were scattered. Their homes and their friends and their families and their jobs in Jerusalem, they just had to leave. They had to go, run for their lives without any time to plan. Who would choose those kind of circumstances? Anyone here want to sign up for those circumstances? Come on, let's see some hands. No hands, right? But what we know is that Jesus had gone before them. Jesus had gone before them. This is what Jesus had said in Acts chapter 1, a few chapters before. He gave them this command. He said, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So that was the first part of what Jesus said, is wait in Jerusalem because there's a gift coming. It's the Holy Spirit. He's been promised. He's coming for you. You're going to be given the Holy Spirit. And it goes on to say in verse 8, when you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, which is where they were right at that time, and in Judea, and in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So Jesus had told them that's what's going to happen. What he hadn't told them is this is how it's going to happen. And there's a reason he didn't tell them this is why it's going to happen, because they needed a bit of time just to receive the Holy Spirit first before they were scattered and persecuted and spread around. But do you see how Jesus had gone before them? And so we need to understand that loving and following Jesus is not a choice for an easy life. It's not a choice to be comfortable. Loving and following Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit and living out as a Spirit-filled believer is a difficult life. Okay, it is a difficult life, but it is a life we can live because we are empowered by the Holy Spirit and he helps us. So Jesus had already told them that this would happen. And you see, the reason that this happened is because Jesus loves the church, and Jesus' plan was for the good news about himself to go wider than just Jerusalem. This was a message that was for the whole earth. And so the message had to get wider than Jerusalem. And so he had a plan of how that was going to happen. And it involved pruning and cutting back and pain and suffering. But it also resulted in huge fruit and huge growth. Okay? And we saw, didn't we, a few weeks ago, John chapter 15, that Jesus said that the vine needed to be cut and pruned so that there could be more fruit. We go on, back to Acts chapter 8 now, okay? Acts chapter 8, verse 4. And we're going to encounter a particular believer who was scattered called Philip. This is what it says. "Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there." He spoke about Jesus. "When the crowds heard Philip and they saw the signs that he performed, They all paid close attention to what he said. So Philip goes down to Samaria full of the Holy Spirit, and he speaks about Jesus and he performs signs. And that tells us what the sorts of things that he was doing. It says, "For with shrieks, impure or unclean spirits came out of many, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in that city." Wow. This is amazing stuff. This new church, these disciples who had been scattered, this particular example of Philip, as he went and spoke about Jesus and as he performed signs in the power of the Holy Spirit, what it did is that crowds gathered to hear him and to see what he was doing, and people were getting healed and people were getting delivered, and there was great joy in the city. Now, I just want to pull out a few things from this passage to encourage us in our town and in our lives today. The first one is this: God gives us the Holy Spirit to help us. Philip was loving and following Jesus in his life, full of the Holy Spirit. You need to know, Philip could not do these things. He could not proclaim about Jesus in the face of severe opposition, and he could not put his hands on people who were sick and they would be healed, and pray for those that were in spiritual bondage and then be freed. He could not do that on his own. He could only do that because he had the help of the Holy Spirit. We've already heard over the last few weeks, Jesus said, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." Apart from me, you can do nothing, says Jesus. But he also says, if you remain in me, I will remain in you, and you will bear much fruit. And the way that he remains in us is by giving us his Holy Spirit to live within us. And so we need to know that the Holy Spirit is given to help us. And so we also know this from Acts chapter 6. I know I'm flicking around a bit, but if you look in Acts chapter 6, that's where we first encounter Philip, actually. It's the point where there was lots of extra work being created in the church as people were gathering to it, and they needed more leaders. And so they were looking for people full of wisdom and full of the Holy Spirit, and they chose seven people, and Philip was one of those people. And it says, therefore, that he was full of wisdom and full of the Holy Spirit. Philip was one of the people that was full of the Holy Spirit, and he was, this incredible stuff was breaking it out around him. And Jesus gave one of the names for the Holy Spirit, which is the Helper. There are lots of other names for the Holy Spirit: the Counselor, the Advocate, lots of other things. Okay, but the Holy Spirit is given to help us. He's called the Helper. And there's many ways that the Holy Spirit helps us. There's scriptures to back all of these up, but let me just give you some. He comes to comfort us when we need comfort. He comes to counsel us when we need counsel and wisdom. He comes to teach us and to guide us into all truth. And Jesus is the truth. He guides us towards the truth of Jesus. The Holy Spirit speaks to us. That's how we hear the voice of Jesus in our lives, is through the Holy Spirit. How we sense what Jesus is saying to us. The Holy Spirit comes to anoint us. The Holy Spirit comes to empower us as witnesses of Jesus. The Holy Spirit comes to give good gifts to us so that we can use those gifts to build up the church and to reach out to the people around us. The Holy Spirit bears fruit in our lives, the fruit of the Spirit: patience, self-control, kindness, and so on. The Holy Spirit comes to convict us, to help us by convicting us of sin in our lives so that we can deal with it. The Holy Spirit comes to deliver us from things that hold us captive. The Holy Spirit sends us to places where Jesus wants us to go. The Holy Spirit prophesies and intercedes and works signs and miracles. The Holy Spirit, it tells us in Romans, causes us to cry out, "Abba, Father." It's how we get a revelation that God is our Father, because the Holy Spirit comes and does that work in us. We need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our helper. He helps in all these different ways. Anyone think that they need the help of the Holy Spirit in this room? Lots of hands. Good. The message has got home. I was with our friend in hospital this week, and he was anxious about some of the things that were going on and some of the things that weren't happening that he thought should have been happening, and so on. Ange and I were there, and there was just a moment where we put our hands on him and prayed for the Holy Spirit to come. And the Holy Spirit came in that moment, and I sensed the presence of the Holy Spirit in that moment, and his face just relaxed, and there was a peace. I noticed this peace that came upon him. And you know, just as Philip brought joy to this city in Samaria through the power of the Holy Spirit, I would love us to do the same in our town and in the villages where we live and the places where we go. As we speak about Jesus, as we point to him, he wants to heal the sick. He wants to set people free. This is possible for us too, but only with some help. We can't do this on our own. We need the helper. We need the Holy Spirit. Secondly, the Holy Spirit always draws us to Jesus. Okay, the Holy Spirit always draws us to Jesus. Let's read on in Acts chapter 8. We get introduced to someone else now, someone called Simon. Simon is not full of the Holy Spirit. Simon is described as a sorcerer. Okay, let's see what it says about Simon. Now, for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great. And all the people, both high and low, gave their attention and exclaimed, "This man is rightly called the great power of God." They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his sorcery. But when they believed Philip as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles that he saw. So this Simon was a magician. I'm not talking about the kind of card trick magician. I'm talking about, he's described as a sorcerer, someone who's tapping into dark spiritual power. And we need to know that we are both physical and spiritual beings, right? And that there is both a physical realm, a physical world, and a spiritual world. And we struggle with this sometimes in our worldview, in our culture, because we are so used to being taught that we can trust things that we believe and things that we can prove and things that we can touch. But we're not so comfortable with things that are unseen and spiritual and things that are unexplained. But the spiritual realm is as real as the physical realm, okay? And because we are spiritual beings, we get drawn, people get drawn to spiritual things. And so Simon had gathered this following. He had this crowd of people that followed him because they'd been amazed by a long time by him. They'd given him this godly status, a name, the great power of God, they were calling him. And we might think that's a bit kind of outdated, that's a thing for the past, but just think about it. People today are drawn to spiritual things. They're drawn to spiritual things because they want healing, and so they go and find kind of spiritual healing kind of methods that are not in Jesus. People are drawn to spiritual things because they're suffering with grief and they kind of want to connect with loved ones that have lost, and so they find ways that they, or they try to find ways to do that. People are looking for peace, and so they're trying to find peace from spiritual things, spiritual ways. People want joy in their lives. And so even in the world of entertainment, you only have to look at the movies that are about around sorcery and the movies and the music. It's literature that is about sorcery, about the spiritual. People use it as a way of entertainment. It is not. Okay, and we have to be very careful. These may seem to offer something helpful, but ultimately they lead people away from the truth. Because the Holy Spirit draws people towards Jesus, but everything else that is not of Jesus and is spiritual draws people away. That is unclean, that is impure. It draws people away from Jesus and gives people a platform. Like Simon had got this gathering, this following that he had. And even if it seems to offer joy or entertainment, or it offers peace, or it offers healing, and it might seem like it's offering something good, but actually it's not offering something good. It's deceiving, it's deceptive, and it draws us away from Jesus. But the Holy Spirit always draws us to Jesus. Look what happens when Philip shows up full of the Holy Spirit. People don't get drawn to Philip as a person. It tells us they believe in Jesus and they get baptized into the name of Jesus. See, that's what the Holy Spirit does. He draws us to Jesus. Even Simon himself, who had these, was tapping into these dark powers, he realizes that what Philip is carrying, the Holy Spirit, the message of Jesus, is much more powerful than what he is carrying. And so he gets baptized himself. suddenly this crowd are no longer glorifying Simon, but they're beginning to glorify Jesus. There's a transformation that is taking place. This is a key way that the Holy Spirit helps us. He makes Jesus known. And you know, we must not seek the power of the Holy Spirit for the manifestations, for the signs and the wonders. We must seek the Holy Spirit because he draws us to Jesus. And we want to love and follow Jesus. So we need the Holy Spirit to help us. Maybe you feel like you want to love and follow Jesus, but you just feel like you don't know Jesus very well. You don't feel like you know him as well as you want to. You need the Holy Spirit to help you to know Jesus better. Maybe there's people around you at your workplace or in your family. You want them to know Jesus. You need the Holy Spirit to help show them Jesus and reveal Jesus. My story was that I grew up in a church that very rarely spoke of the Holy Spirit and was very wary of the Holy Spirit. And it was when I went to university that I encountered people for the first time up close and personal who were full of the Holy Spirit. And they would pray differently. There was a passion in their prayer. They knew Jesus in a way that I didn't. I knew lots about Jesus and I was a Christian and I read my Bible, but I'd never encountered the Holy Spirit in the way these guys had. There was a confidence about them, a boldness to speak to their non-Christian friends, that they would pray for the sick and so on. There was, they would just pray big prayers. They'd be full of faith because they were empowered by the Holy Spirit. The way they worshipped together was just vibrant. And I just knew that I needed the Holy Spirit. And over, I went on a bit of a journey and over probably a couple of years at university, encountered the Holy Spirit for myself for the first time and began to realize what I'd been missing. Later on in my life, whilst I was here at Open Door, there was a time where I just in worship was weeping a lot of the time. I don't know if some of you will remember that. And what that was the Holy Spirit in me helping me to encounter God as a Father and the love that he had for me in a way that I'd not had that revealed to me and not experienced that before. I needed the help of the Holy Spirit for that to happen. The Holy Spirit draws us to Jesus, draws us to the Father. So we need the help of the Holy Spirit, and we need the Holy Spirit to draw us to Jesus. Thirdly, we receive the Holy Spirit as a gift. Okay, we receive the Holy Spirit as a gift. Let's read on in Acts chapter 8. So what happens now? So the apostles, so remember, all the early church was in Jerusalem. They all scatter. The apostles are left. Just the apostles, those that had been with Jesus, were left in Jerusalem. Everyone else had been scattered out. And now the apostles have heard what is going on in Samaria. So when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, it says they prayed for the new believers there that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And Peter and John placed their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to leave it. I'm going to pause it there. I know there's some more verses maybe coming up behind me, but let me leave it there. You see, we receive the Holy Spirit as a gift. And what it tells us here is that those in Samaria that Philip had encountered were new believers. So the first thing we need to know is this is not a case of we have to go to the University of Christianity and we need to know a certain amount before we can receive the Holy Spirit. These were new believers. It also tells us that they had been baptized in water. Okay, so they had believed in Jesus. And what we see in the New Testament is when you believe in Jesus, you get baptized in water. Those two things, they just go together. For some reason in churches, we've separated those things more than I think we should have done. Okay, and when someone believes in Jesus, they need to be baptized in water. And so we see new believers who've been baptized, but they haven't yet received the Holy Spirit. And so the apostles come, and it says they laid hands on them, and they prayed for them, and they received this gift from God, who is a good giver. Sometimes people are fearful of receiving the Holy Spirit as a gift because they're worried about, like, it's going to be a fearful thing, or something's going to happen to them that is not going to be good. You need to know that the Holy, if you're asking for the Holy Spirit and you're receiving the Holy Spirit, it is a good thing. God is a good giver. You can trust him. And the Holy Spirit comes in different ways on different people. But what we see is that it was obvious that the Holy Spirit had come. So much so, if you read on in that passage, that Simon the sorcerer wanted the gift of being able to give others the Holy Spirit because he saw the power that was involved in it. It was visible. It was tangible. That doesn't mean that every time we receive the Holy Spirit that it's visible, but it means that often it is. And it means that even if you receive the Holy Spirit quietly, you will know that you've received the Holy Spirit. There is no doubt about it. And so, what I want to ask really this morning is, where are you on this journey? Some of you this morning, the question for you is, have you believed? Have you believed in Jesus? Have you believed in what Jesus has done for you when he went to the cross, when he rose again? Some of you, that's the question you need to explore. Have I put my trust in Jesus? Some of you, the question for you is, have you been baptized? Have you been baptized in water? If you've believed in Jesus and you haven't been baptized in water as part of that process, the great news is we have a baptism coming up in March, and I would love to baptize every one of you who has believed in Jesus but not been baptized in water. And so come, let us know that you are interested and we can explore with you what that means. But also I want to ask the question today, have you received the Holy Spirit? Maybe you've received the Holy Spirit before, but you know you need to receive the Holy Spirit again. Because that's what it teaches in the Bible, is that we receive the Holy Spirit as an ongoing thing. We keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Go on receiving the Holy Spirit. It's not something we earn for good behavior. It's not something we earn for a certain level of knowledge. It is a free gift from a good giver. There's going to be lots of opportunities to receive the Holy Spirit over the next few weeks. We've got, in a minute, I'm going to pray and invite those that want to receive the Holy Spirit to receive the Holy Spirit. We've got a week of prayer coming up. I love the fact that often, that you can receive the Holy Spirit anywhere, but there is something about worship and prayer that attracts the presence of the Holy Spirit. And we see that in Acts, actually. They were often together in one place, praising God or in prayer, and the Holy Spirit came and met with them. That's what our week of prayer is partly about, a place to pray and to give our petitions to God, but also a chance to receive the Holy Spirit for ourselves. We've also got Rob Davey coming, a guest speaker, to be with us on the 12th of March. It's part of the apostolic team that we're part of within Catalyst. And Rob is a man that carries the presence of God in a powerful way. And so on the 12th of March, I want to encourage you to be here, because I'm sure Rob will be prophesying and praying for the Spirit to come. And so there'll be opportunity there as well. But we don't need to wait. We don't need to wait. We can come now and we can receive the Holy Spirit. And so there is an active part of this, that this is something that God does not download his Holy Spirit or force his Holy Spirit on anyone that doesn't want it. There's an active receiving that needs to happen. And so what I'm going to ask you to do is, first of all, if you want to be part of this, will you stand with me? Will you stand with me if you recognize that you want to receive the Holy Spirit, that he is your helper? Matt, would you just come and if you want to bring your amigos with you, feel free for them to come. And what I want you to do, even in this moment now, is to just begin to bring your attention and your thanksgiving and your heart and your mind to Jesus, because that's what the Holy Spirit is given to do, to help draw us to Jesus. And so let's not actually focus too much on the Holy Spirit right now. Let's focus on Jesus. Let's look to him. Just in your heart, just be giving thanks. And in your mind, just be giving thanks to Jesus for who he is and for what he has done. Just allow thanksgiving and appreciation and wonder of Jesus to come and fill your minds. Just be declaring, thank you, Jesus, that you are good. Thank you, Jesus, that you are good. Thank you, Jesus, that you are a good giver. Thank you, Jesus, that you gave yourself. You laid your life down for us. And thank you, Jesus, that you promised the Holy Spirit as a good gift. And I'm just going to ask us to be still. And guys, you might want to play a bit if you want to. We don't need it, but it sometimes is helpful to have a bit of noise in the room so people just feel open. And so we say, would you come, Holy Spirit? Come, Holy Spirit. Just be still in this place and be thankful to Jesus. Fix your eyes on him, Jesus, the giver of good gifts, the Father who is a lavish giver. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you are here by your Spirit. Thank you that we can trust you. Thank you that we don't have to make anything happen. You are free to come and do whatever you want to do today in this place. But we do recognize our need for your help. We recognize our need for your help. What I want to do is just read a few scriptures over us. These are things that Jesus said or that the Bible tells us. He said, I'm going to send what my Father has promised. Stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. It's a promise from the Father. Jesus said, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. That's a promise of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, remain in me and I will remain in you. These are all scriptures. This is God speaking truth to you and to me. Jesus, when he was with his disciples after he's resurrected, he said, as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. And he says this to us as well. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. This is the promise. This is the helper. This is what we need. We can't do this on our own. Jesus said, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? There are good earthly fathers that will give good gifts to their children and will avoid giving unhelpful gifts to their children, but our Heavenly Father is so much better and he has so much more goodness to give you. And so we say, come, Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, we read, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. This is for all. This is for everyone here. This is for your sons and your daughters. They will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. This is for people of all ages and all backgrounds. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here. And we say, would you come? Would you come and would you help us? Would you come and would you fill us? We receive you today. We receive you today afresh. Come, Holy Spirit, in this place. We say, come, Holy Spirit, in this place. We welcome you. The help that you bring when we need peace, and when we need healing, and when we need comfort, and when we need joy, and when we need boldness, is the help that we need. We are sorry that we look to other things to fulfill those needs. We need you. Come, Holy Spirit, I pray. And right now, around the room, different ones of you will be feeling different things. Some of you might be feeling nothing at all, and that's absolutely fine. That's absolutely fine. If you are asking to receive the Holy Spirit, He will meet with you. He will meet with you. It's a promise. But you might not be feeling anything right now. Others of you, you can feel the presence of the Holy Spirit where you are right now. Okay, you might feel a weight of the Holy Spirit, a warmth. You might feel that you're beginning to shake a little. I'm feeling a little bit tearful and a sense of the presence of God here. If you can physically feel something is happening on you and around you right now, will you just lift your hand where you are? I can see there are some people where the Spirit is moving in that kind of way, in a tangible way. I just want to ask that the Lord would increase what He's doing. Increase it. Where there is a sense of your presence in this room on different individuals, I ask, would you come now, Holy Spirit, and increase that? I pray, would you increase it? Some of you might feel you want to pray for others. I'm just going to pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. We ask for more. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. More, Lord. We ask for more. We ask for more. Would you increase what you're doing? Come and increase what you're doing. Come, Holy Spirit, bring your help. Thank you that you are the helper. Oh. Come, Lord Jesus, by your Spirit, we pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, fill. Receive. Receive the Holy Spirit now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill. Fill. Come. Come and fill, Lord Jesus. More, Lord. Say, come, Lord Jesus. More of you. More of you. Come on. Come on, Clive. Lord, bless him. Bless him. Come, Lord Jesus. 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 Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. We pray, fill. Fill, receive Him now. Receive Him now. Come, Holy Spirit. Increase what you're doing in Alfred, Lord Jesus. Come, thank you, Jesus. Come, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I've just asked Matt if he can sing. Some of you might want to join in and sing. The thing about the Holy Spirit is He draws us to Jesus. So we're going to sing a song that brings worship to Jesus. Some of you are still receiving prayer and want to receive more prayer. There's more the Holy Spirit wants to do. So we're just going to sing. We're going to pray. Some of you might want to, I think there's some of you that maybe it'd be helpful to make a step out of your chairs, maybe even come to the front and actively say, yeah, I want to receive prayer. I know that I need the help of the Holy Spirit. So I'd ask you, as we sing, just come to the front and we'll have some people here that'd be happy to pray with you. Some of you might want to wave from where you are and say, come and pray with me, come and pray with me. And there's a hunger in the room for more of what the Holy Spirit is doing. And we say, would you increase it, Father? We pray, pour your Spirit out upon us. We want to receive all that you have for us this morning. Let's worship Jesus. Let's continue to pray for one another.